What's up, everybody? It's your man, Danelle, a.k.a. Small Guy Promotions, a.k.a. Omaha Fatty, coming to you with another podcast episode of What's Up, Omaha.
We've been on a roll with some wonderful guests recently. We have another one on today. My guest, Stacy. Stacy, how are you doing?
Hey, Danelle. I'm so good. So good. Happy Monday again.
Happy Monday. Been some nice weather recently, getting a little rain for the veggies outside.
Still picnic season.
Yep. This is the good time of the year.
Yeah.
So Stacy, let's talk a little bit. You know, one of my favorite topics is food. So you're coming on to talk a little bit about food, but a little different kind of food.
A little different. It's still real food.
And I saw some pictures and you invited me out, but I had just been out the week before to Let's Eat. And that's how I found out about you and how we started to talk through social media. But what is your business? Can you please tell everyone your name?
Yeah, so officially all legal, all licensed and everything in two states. So it is called Veg Edible. It is an all vegan, all gluten-free, and I have recently decided to make it all nut-free as well, since I have dedicated equipment that I haven't used nuts with yet. And there's a lot of people that need nut-free as well. So I've decided, yes, it's all gluten-free. Yes, it's all nut-free. And I make meals and munchies that you can find around Omaha and in the Council Bluffs area, wherever I can find a place to pop up.
Nice.
Yeah.
So is that your main thing now, is just pop up? You don't have like a brick and mortar at this time?
I don't. If you know anybody that wants to give me a couple hundred thousand dollars, let me know. I'll give them food for life. But I cook out of the building I'm actually in right now. It's called Kitchen Council.
Okay.
And it's over in Council Bluffs. And I love it here. I found Kitchen Council after my failed attempt of trying to find a commercial kitchen for rent in Omaha. There's a few of them, and I'm picky. I'm picky when I'm cooking in, and cleanliness and accessibility and just who the people are behind the establishment. And I just wasn't feeling anything over in Omaha. I wanted it to be more of like a program, because I don't know. Well, now I do. I didn't know anything about how to start a business, how to get licensed. So Kitchen Council is exactly what I needed. It's a for entrepreneurs. And I found Kitchen Council through my good friend, Jesse Moore. He's with the Omaha Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
They've been great. He recommended that I reach out to Holly Benson. She's the director here in the kitchen. And it was just all downhill from there. I mean, I gave her my email and she sent me every form, every person I needed to contact, how much I needed to pay them, by when, just kind of like a booklet of here's how to get your food startup going.
Yeah.
And this space is more than I could have ever imagined. It is the second floor of the Pottawatomie Arts and Entertainment in Council Bluffs. And It's like a full circle building here. So there's a theater, a full bar, a pop-up restaurant, a venue that you can rent, Omaha Ballet dances out of here. There's an art studio. Like, it's just a full circle of the arts and entertainment and culture. And the kitchen is, you just got to look at the website. The pictures can't do it justice. It's huge.
Yeah.
There's about 10 other kitchen, and we all have our own spaces, our own storage shelves. Everyone, you know, helps each other out. And the kitchen equipment is also pristine. It was donated by ConAgra.
Nice.
But with my concept, I don't use most of the equipment here because of cross-contamination.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's cool. I feel like a lot of people are being more conscious about that sort of thing. A lot of allergies are popping up for people who haven't had them before. So you'll see that with the celiac and mm-hmm. just gluten. And, you know, my mom recently found out after 60 something years of life that she's allergic to strawberries. And my wife is dairy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of, we look into dairy free options quite a bit when we go out to eat. So one of the things about vegan food is we know that there's no dairy in there. So we're safe right away when it's a vegan place. So that's always cool.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And everything I use, everything is vegan. So no animal products or byproducts at all. I don't use honey. I don't use any animal product. There's so many substitutes that are just fine. Substituting eggs and milk and cheese, and it's incredible the difference between like the early 2000s, what the options were. You could get like a cardboard looking burger patty thing.
Yeah, from the frozen section.
I don't even have to think about it.
So how did you become vegan? Like what was there a certain point in life when you just made the decision, or was it kind of like a gradual thing?
So I never thought I would be vegan. I wasn't born vegan. I didn't know anything about it. We live in Nebraska. Ethan. I went on a trip to San Diego about four years now ago with my boyfriend at the time, excuse me, who decided to go vegan cold turkey after we had a steak dinner with my grandparents. He said, okay, that's the last time I'm eating meat. I am going vegan. And I was like, what? We hadn't talked about it. I had no idea he was even interested. I thought it was weird at first. I don't know. I didn't know what to think. Trip about 6 months after he decided to go vegan overnight, instantly. And in San Diego, I kind of accidentally ate vegan the whole time we were there. That's just how it is. It's healthy. It's conscious of where things are sourced from, and everything is blatantly marked as either vegan or, you know, non-dairy. And I loved it. I had some phenomenal food while I was there. And on the flight home, we had a couple layovers. A documentary called What the Health that is on Netflix. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't. At least I don't think I have.
What the Health is directed by Kip Anderson, who is the director of Cowspiracy. Seaspiracy is the newest one. He just kind of goes over the correlation between diet, disease, and dollars, like all the stuff in between that they don't tell you.
Yeah.
So it was really eye-opening, and there was a story in there that resonated with me about a woman that had chronic asthma. So I was diagnosed with chronic asthma in sixth grade. We had to run the mile. You remember that? Uh-huh. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't breathe. And I was on 4 different medications daily. And like using, sorry, the lights turned off. I was using my emergency inhaler like every day, which is not good for you. And this woman in the documentary, different medications just to be able to breathe. Like, it's something that you take for granted. Like, I can't breathe like a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And she adopted a plant-based diet and was able to get off like most of her medicine and be able to be active. And I was like, hey, maybe I should try this. Maybe it'll do my body some good, help my lungs a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was it. We landed because he decided to go vegan like 6 months before. And that was it. I started researching, like, what do I eat? What can I eat? Where can I go to get food? Like, what do I have to do to be vegan? What do I have to know? And I just became like obsessed with educating myself and looking into options and hearing other people's stories and experiences. And I've been vegan for 4 years now.
Nice, nice. So how does it go from, you know, I know you said you were kind of just in it and you were kind of obsessed with the research and whatnot. How does it go from you doing that for yourself to wanting to do that for other people?
So the health benefits that I received from changing over to a plant-based diet happened so fast. I lost so much weight. And it's not that I was like a super unhealthy person, but I felt better. Mm-hmm. My asthma. And I thought, maybe I should tell other people how I feel and how good this is and how doable it is, and just crack all the myths around veganism, because there's a lot of them out there, a lot of wrong information. And I was never a cook. Like, if you ask my grandma, she said, I'm gonna send you to college with a microwave and you'll be fine. I never liked cooking. I never wanted to cook. I mean, I did baking, you know, bake with your grandma. But I, being vegan, I had to figure out like flavors and learn about textures, and it just opened up a whole new world for me. Things that I would never have thought of trying before are now like things I eat every day. So what really made me want to feed other people is I managed Cold Stone. I worked at Cold Stone for like 12 years.
All right.
I managed Cold Stone at Midtown Crossing for about 8 years. And my employees were all young high schoolers. And I would see them come in for their shift after they went to school all day and probably skipped lunch and had their sports practice, finally coming in for their shift, so hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see them spend their money on food delivery from places that are really not good for you.
Right.
And so I decided to start making meals, like little microwave frozen meals, to keep at in the freezer. And they would pay me $5. And they loved it. I had like taco bowls, Alfredo, peanut butter tofu was everyone's favorite.
I
So it just like made me happy to feed them a nutritious meal rather than them spending money, wasting money, and not doing their health any good.
Nice. Yeah, I'd imagine that is just a progression of it. You know, you eat it, you think it's good, but then you make it for someone else and they also agree that it's good. And you're like, hey, you know, if they like it, you know, there's probably other people who would also enjoy it as well. So then you just kind of get ball rolling there and go. So what's like your favorite meal to make or that you offer with your business?
Probably my breakfast scramble. I love breakfast, but I'm never up for breakfast. So I'm making breakfast at like noon. I make like tofu scramble, and it's kind of like a one skillet thing. Potatoes, onions, peppers. I make sausage. I make biscuits and gravy. So breakfast food is really where it's at for me. I'm working on a chicken and waffle slider.
Nice.
Mushrooms. Oh yeah.
So yeah, is it a lot of substitutions for like your protein? You'll do mushrooms or nuts or something like that?
Yeah. So since Vegetable is all gluten-free, I don't use, have you ever heard of seitan?
Yes. Modern Love. They have the best buffalo like wings ever. Like, oh, I don't know if you've ever gone down there and had them, but they're great.
I actually managed Modern Love for like 2 years.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. When the pandemic hit, I just had to go. But yeah, so Vital Wheat Gluten, it's not good for you. It's pretty much just fried bread, but it does mimic meat. So that's usually used for vegan substitutions. But since I'm all gluten-free, I use a lot of tofu, a lot of beans, a lot of, I can't even believe what I make. I make, I take cauliflower and make it into gravy. It's all plant-based. No gluten, no nuts either.
Let's back this up really quick. Did you just tell me that the seitan is not good for me?
You know how it feels like a rock, like in your stomach? And like,
what about the nachos?
Dude, the nachos are the best. I will say nobody has better nachos.
Okay.
Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody has better nachos.
Very good.
And I appreciate what they're doing. I love what they're doing. It's vegan comfort food. I never said it was healthy. It tastes great. And what I'm doing is a little healthier. I'm not saying it's completely fat-free, but I use very little amounts of oil, salt, no wheat. So the digestion process is just nice for you.
Okay. And then, so having to learn those new flavors and what kind of works with one another, you can say that you feel like you actually hit on those flavor notes when you're, you know, giving it to someone and they're like, ooh, this is, you know, sometimes you're like, this is good for vegan. Like they don't just say that it's good. It's good for vegan, or, you know, you're like, no, it's just good.
Yeah, for sure. The most popular item that I make that carnivores are is my barbecue jackfruit. Have you ever had jackfruit?
No, I don't think so.
You probably would know if you had it.
Yeah, I don't. Is it the thing that everybody's making YouTube videos about and stuff?
Probably. I don't know. I'm old now. I don't keep up with that. So jackfruit is a fruit. It's a huge melon looking thing. You can actually buy it at the Asian market. And it, inside it's like kind of like a pomegranate where there's like pods, and you
gonna Google it.
It's a very meaty pulled pork kind of consistency in there.
Okay.
So I do my thing with it, and it looks like pulled pork, and it feels like pulled pork. And put some barbecue sauce on that, and I gotcha.
Okay. Well, I know we've had, like, years ago, we haven't done it for a while, but, you know, the squash, making it into spaghetti. That wasn't bad. I mean, we didn't love it, but I mean,
it's fine. It was kind of a fad thing. Yeah.
And it was just something that, I mean, we just wanted to try it. We're like, really? Spaghetti out of squash? That doesn't sound like that can happen. And we did it. I think we did it at least twice.
Yeah. It's not really the same thing, but they make gluten-free spaghetti and it's vegan. So there's a lot of options now.
Yeah. Yeah. So with all that being said, you know, breakfast is your favorite item. Are you always serving breakfast, or is that just like a special from time to time?
Yeah. So I've had a few pop-ups now where I've had breakfast sandwiches. And people love breakfast any time of day. I know I do.
Yep.
My pop-up coming up at Zen Coffee Company here in the first weekend of June will be breakfast or brunch. The pop-ups that I'm trying to do are usually at like coffee shops or it just goes well together to do breakfast.
I know I love breakfast. So what is your bacon and your sausage substitutions? What are you using? Like, we've seen videos recently.
Bacon, because you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. We've seen, I think we had a little lag there or something, but we've seen people make bacon out of carrots. And I think recently there was like banana.
Yeah, don't bacon. Do that one. Don't eat banana peels. That's weird.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, banana peels. I'm like, how do you even think it? Like, yeah.
Yeah, no. So my bacon, I tried the carrots. I didn't try the bananas.
It just didn't sound good.
My bacon is made out of daikon radish. Yeah. So daikon radish I get from the Asian market. And do you know what a daikon radish is?
No, ma'am.
When you get sushi, you know how there's like shredded carrots and then there's that shredded like crunchy white vegetable, maybe, if you've had it then. Well, that's daikon.
Googling everything we're talking about that I don't know about, so.
Daikon radish, it's pretty much a water vegetable. Like there's not really any flavor to it. It's just crunchy.
Yeah.
So I take daikon radish and I peel out, and then I soak it in bacony things, so like coconut aminos, which is like a gluten-free soy sauce, because soy sauce isn't gluten-free, just so you know. And like liquid smoke and fresh cracked pepper and paprika, and I let it like soak all that back up, and then I bake it, and it's crispy and wavy. And it has kind of like translucent pieces in it. So it looks like fat. It looks like bacon and it's really good.
Okay. All right. So we got to make sure to keep up with your pop-ups.
It's made out of.
Sorry, it lagged again. Yes. It's doing that.
Oh, you're good. My sausage is made out of quinoa, mushrooms, pumpkin seeds, dates, pinto beans. Like it has so many different textures and ingredients to bind it together. And when I get done processing it, it looks like sausage and it fries up like sausage. And that's what's on my breakfast sandwich.
All right.
Sausage, egg, and cheese, and maple syrup.
Mm-hmm. So you got me convinced to try something. I don't know if I'll do the sausage because I don't really do beans a lot. But the bacon.
You would never know.
That's what people say. all the time. They say, you, I know you've had beans before, but you would love these beans. And I'm like, nah. No, ask my wife who tries to sneak beans into our chili one time. She's over there smiling on the couch. But she tried to sneak beans into our chili because I don't eat beans in chili. And she mashed them. And the first night, you know, the chili was good, but there was just something that was off. And I was like, man, there's something.
Sorry, it's all like eco-friendly in the building, so the lights turn off.
Yeah, no worries. But I was like, there's something off about this chili. And then I took it for leftovers for lunch the next day. And I'm like, did you put beans in this chili? I
did. Trying to get a little protein in there.
She's such a punk. But yeah. So I definitely
you're lucky she's eating you.
I'm definitely down for trying the bacon. We'll see on the sausage patty. But I was gonna say, so we all need to make sure to follow you all over and keep up with your pop-ups, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got Diana's Tea Shop coming this weekend, which is just, I'm just doing pastries. There's not really like a lot of room for me to cook there. So I'm doing all vegan, gluten-free, nut-free pastries, lemon bars, and kolaches. Have you ever had a kolache?
Nope. I know we've talked about kolaches before, but we haven't had them, I don't think.
There's like a kolache factory place here in Omaha, but it's not the same thing. I'm Polish and Czechoslovakian, and my grandma would always make these. They're called kolaches. It's a very buttery, eggy dough that has fruit filling in the middle. And I really miss them. There's like a whole egg in each one and like made with regular flour. And I just really miss them. They were always a big part of family events growing up. So I veganized them and I gluten-freed them. And they're so good. I've got like lemon is my favorite. There's cherry, blueberry, poppy seed is everyone's favorite. It's very traditional. So I'll have those at the pop-up and also at Zen. So you just got to keep following me around until I get enough money to start a brick and mortar.
Which, and as you were saying earlier, I was going to touch on, I just 2 weekends ago met with, I don't know if you've seen her, but I've seen her on social before I actually met her, but her name is Yuvi, and she's got her home baking business.
But yeah.
Yuvi's Bake Shop.
Yeah, yeah.
She said it's so expensive to find like a location to work out of a shop.
I've been keeping my eye just on things that are available and no way, no how.
Yeah, right. And that's okay. You just do what you gotta do till you know, get there.
Definitely. The kitchen I ran out of, Kitchen Council, their goal is to help you get into a brick and mortar eventually. So they've got contacts and things I don't want to talk about right now.
That's the not fun stuff.
I'm just having fun, making people's bellies happy.
Yeah. Yeah. The food is definitely the fun part.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Where can everyone find you? As we've talked about, you know, keeping up with your social and stuff. Do you have a website? Or what pages are you on for social media, or what platforms I should say? Where can
I've got my website is eatvegetable.com. You can click on my pop-up calendar, see where I'm going to be when, and I do mostly pre-orders for pop-ups. That way it gives me a good idea of how much food I need to make. If I don't take pre-orders, I don't have any idea. And there could potentially be a lot of food waste, which obviously I don't want to waste food. And then that way there's enough for everyone. So you don't come at the end and I'm out of something and you're brokenhearted. Yeah. So you can find my pop-up calendar. You can order straight from my website. You can find me on Facebook and also Instagram.
Well, and let's also touch on, because I've had some people, they don't really know what Let's Eat is. They don't understand the concept of a pop-up. So for anyone who might be watching or listening, if you somehow don't know what a pop-up is, basically it's when there is a business, you know, or an opportunity. It may not even be a business. It's just an opportunity that a business owner gets from another business owner typically to go and set up shop for a day. And, you know, maybe for 3-4 hours, it just depends on the business. But yeah, it gives people like yourself who doesn't have an actual brick and mortar an opportunity to go out and meet the people as you give them your food or talk about your business or whatever it is. It's to get that opportunity to get your face and your product out there a little more. So if you don't know what a pop-up is, that's what it is. So you see pop-ups all the time, Dandelion pop-up, or, you know, some of the other pop-ups. I know there's one at Westroads. And it doesn't necessarily have to be food. Sometimes it's crafts. You know, my daughter did one at Diana's Papillion Tea Shop before Julie sold to the new owners. And she sold her jewelry, and that was cool. So there's a lot of opportunities for small businesses. And me personally, Small Guy Promotions, that's a big thing that I have a passion for, is the small business owner. So seeing stuff like that happen is really cool.
I love the opportunity, and Omaha is so lucky. Omaha is unlike any other city I've ever been to. We have so much food, so much diversity, and the support behind people's food is, like, Omaha Food Lovers, are you on there? You're on there.
Yeah.
Like, people show up.
Yep.
And the word gets out, and it just takes off, and they keep coming back, and I'm so thankful for those kind of platforms, because word of mouth is really just how people in Omaha is so supportive of the vegan and gluten-free and nut-free concept that I've developed.
Yeah, and we're hearing a lot, like I said earlier, we're hearing more and more about those type of options being available to people, people like yourself who, you know, maybe for a different reason, you know, maybe it wasn't out of necessity for you to some extent, but, you know, you did have the asthma, so it helped with that. But some people, you know, they just don't have any other options for food. And, you know, they always have to look at the nutritional information when they go and eat at a place. And it's just nice to be able to eat something that you know you don't have to worry about. Like, is this going to cause a reaction? Oh, I don't want to eat something that might kill me. Like, that's that's basically what it boils down to.
I never thought I'd be vegan, and I never thought I would offer gluten-free food. I'm personally not, I don't have celiac or anything. My body doesn't like gluten. It doesn't sit well with me. It just kind of makes me feel bad after I eat it. Mm-hmm. And if there's a gluten-free option, give it to me. But gluten-free food isn't always good. There's a lot of, you know, it's gluten-free, you know?
Yeah.
And the ingredients that I use and the quality of the ingredients I use help get rid of that. You don't know my biscuits are gluten-free. They're not crummy and dry. But I'm not celiac, and I've learned so much deciding to do gluten-free with Vegetable about how people process gluten, what happens if a celiac eats something that has been cross-contaminated. Like, it is a life or death situation for some people.
Yep.
Can vary, but I'm very careful about the ingredients that I use, and I make sure that they're from the manufacturer, gluten-free, no cross-contamination, and the space in the kitchen, I am away from everyone else, and there's rarely anyone in the kitchen cooking at the same time as I am. Because I do nights. I'm 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So I'm a night owl. So there's never any the same dishwater or the same sponge or towels. I don't use the equipment here because it has been contaminated with gluten and nuts and animal products that I don't want in my food.
Yep. Yeah, you want to be able to stand by your product. So that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Well, any final notes that you would like to tell anyone who would be listening or watching, tuning in on some level?
I just say, give it a try. And if you don't, I can probably fix it. Like if it's a texture thing, like, do you like tofu? Have you ever had tofu?
It depends on how it's made. Like we've had some before that's not really been good, but we've had some that has been good.
If you just chop up some tofu and throw it in something, like, no, you got to season it. You got to cook it right. And I've learned how to cook things correctly to mimic textures and flavors. So don't be afraid of vegan food. Don't be afraid of gluten-free food. And if you have an allergy or an intolerance, I'm here for you. I'm here to give you a space that you can, give you a menu that you can order from and know that it's going to be okay. It's scary going to restaurants.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I struggled with asking questions at first because your server's busy. You know, there's a line out the door. There's a million different things that can make you feel like you're being extra. But when it comes to like a medical condition, you got to know, you got to have those resources available to tell somebody, yes, this is gluten-free. Yes, it is certified gluten-free. No, there are no nuts, no tree nuts, no nothing in this. So I'm just here to feed people that don't feel as comfortable going to a restaurant and they know they can order anything off my menu and it's going to fit their needs.
Yep. And I definitely appreciate that because I know that we've gone to places times before and people don't consider like butter being dairy or just whatever it is. And we'll ask and they say no. And then after we eat, my wife can feel it all, almost immediately. Like she's like, I think there was dairy in something that we ate. So it's pretty frustrating sometimes. And then, you know, the servers don't always know. Sometimes they go back and ask, you know, sometimes maybe they don't really go back and ask, who knows,
but like, it goes farther than just the, you know, just your server. I've worked in restaurants for 15 years and if I tell somebody that, hey, my table has a nut allergy, I'm not watching them the entire time they're making the food. And, you know, sanitize their space. And like, there's so many areas for cross-contamination.
Yep.
I'm not standing there watching them. And if I'm going to serve somebody something that they're allergic to, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that. So having veg edible, it's my thing. I make the menu. I get the ingredients. I contact the manufacturers. I look up, you know, everything. There's gluten in everything. Like it's in toothpaste and like shampoo and like it's stuffed into everything because it's a filler.
Yeah.
So I just. You need to eat some really flavorful food that doesn't make you feel bad and doesn't trigger your allergies or intolerances.
Sweet. And it's good that we have that available. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people appreciate it just as we do at my house. So thank you for what you do, Stacey.
Thank you.
And thank you for, you know, coming on the podcast to tell people about the business and what you offer. I hope that a lot of people see this and get to experience what vegan food can be. I hope to try it myself sometime. You know, I don't know if we'll be able to stop out this weekend, but I definitely want some actual food and not just pastries. But we'll try. Sure. We'll coordinate that and get that taken care of.
Yes.
But if you guys are watching or listening, please subscribe. Please like the podcast. If you're on YouTube or wherever you're tuning in, like, subscribe, share. That's what we ask. Thank you so much for your time and helping us grow and sticking with us through this podcast. That's the ultimate goal with every podcast, is to just tell people about the great things that these small business owners or whoever my guest is doing as her light turns out again. But the goal is to always grow together. And yeah, it's all about community, as she spoke about earlier. So again, Stacy, thank you for being on. I really appreciate you stopping by and taking some time to just talk about your business.
Yeah, thank you, Danelle. Thank you. And vegan and gluten-free, nut-free is what's up in Omaha. So follow me on social media and feed you.
There you go. Smile, help someone else smile, laugh, and help someone else laugh all day, every day.
That's what it is. Please be kind.
Thank you, Stacy.
Thanks, Danelle.